And now, the Street Photography Magazine podcast with your host, Bob Patterson.
Welcome back to the Street Photography Magazine podcast. I'm Bob Patterson, publisher of Street Photography Magazine. And we have a featured photographer with us today. It's Penelope James, or Penny James. She's from Dallas, Texas. And she just told me she's not a Longhorns fan or Aggies. Doesn't matter. She doesn't like sports. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. But Penny works for a nonprofit. She's a fundraiser and she is an artist. She's a true artist. And we're going to, in many ways, we're going to talk about that. But Penny, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
I am so thrilled and honored to be here talking with you. And I hope you don't get a lot of nasty emails about saying I don't follow football here in Texas.
But. Yeah, sorry. I forgot about that. Texas is football crazy.
Definitely.
Almost as crazy as Western Pennsylvania. We're big football country there, too. I grew up in that area, but...
Gotcha. You see, it just went over the head because I'm
it's all right. So you probably don't know who Joe Montana is.
I know Joe Montana. And I know Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
He's from Cleveland.
I can't remember his name, but I know
I think they just broke up, didn't they?
Kelsey. Oh,
no. Kelsey. He's from where I spent most of my life. He's from the Cleveland area.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we don't talk too much, but that's okay.
Maybe now. Maybe now he'll have more time. He'll reach out.
He might. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, she's so busy, she probably doesn't have time for him. Anyway, who cares about them?
Who cares?
Although I like them. For a lot of reasons. Okay. So back to photography. I always like to open with this question we can talk about a little bit. And that's, how you got into this. You're a busy professional person, and there's this side of you, it's like the left, different sides of the brain, and then you've got this creative side, which seems like you can't stop. So how'd you get into that?
I think you put it very, very wisely there. It's this creative side, I feel like it is stronger than any other side. I think I've always had some sort of creative outlet my entire life. And of course, photography I've always enjoyed as a viewer for most of my life, just absorbing photographs. I would get books from libraries, not knowing then that it was street photography, because I really like those photos that are capturing life at either a time or place that I have not experienced myself, and making stories about these people in my mind. They were always very captivating. So I was always very, very drawn to it. Never imagined I could be a part of it or do it. And then in 2016, I had one of those tower collapsing moments of life that I think everyone probably experiences from time to time, hopefully maybe once.
Get that.
I was spending a lot of time just walking to clear my head and had my iPhone with me, and I would take photos of whatever caught my eye. And I realized when I was doing that, that was the only time my mind was completely calm and peaceful. And then editing them later was always same thing, very calm, peaceful. And it was it was a wonderful outlet for me at that time. And I started posting on social and friends really liked it. And one of my very dear friends told me I should buy a camera. And I was like, a camera? I don't know how to operate a camera. I have this iPhone. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I bought what was a very expensive for me at the time, $300 or $400 Nikon D3300. And I loved her from the get-go. And I had no idea how to use it. I went to Austin where I had a photographer friend, and he spent the day with me giving me tips. But the biggest tip he said was put it in manual, don't take it out, and take a ton of really, really bad photos. And
good advice.
I really stuck with one thing at a time. I just worked with ISO, and that was all I would adjust for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then I'd move on to the next thing and just learned that way until I could find my way around the camera to get the mood or feeling that I wanted. Because I feel like am I a street photographer? I feel like I'm a mood photographer. I don't know. It's always about that self-expression or whatever I'm feeling in the moment. So that's kind of where it started. So 2017, I guess.
Wow, pretty recent.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it from your work.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. That really, really does. And, well, you know, oh, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Well, it was just, with that camera around my neck, and I wore it like a necklace. It was around my neck all the time, anywhere I went. And it actually is what gave me the nerve to, I had never traveled out of the country before.
Hmm.
But I got myself a passport and I bought a solo ticket to London and Paris and stayed in hostels. And I was 46 at the time, 40 something. If you had told me even 5 years before, I'd be sleeping in a hostel. I was like, no way. And it was the most amazing experience. But that entire 2 week trip was just about putting the camera around my neck in the morning, getting a map, circling a neighborhood, going to that neighborhood somehow, however I got there. And I just wandered aimlessly. There were no tours or schedules or anything. I just wandered aimlessly back to the hostel at night and then start over again. And it was the most amazing 2 weeks I think I've ever spent in my entire life. So,
wow. A hostel. And
that's where I started getting a lot of street photography, I think, there, just being alone with the camera for days on end.
It was two fantastic. Great places for it.
Exactly.
Probably better than doing street photography in Dallas, I could imagine.
I can be a little uninspired here, but then when I make myself get out, there's always something interesting to see. I just think haven't traveled for so long that when I'm here, I just want to be traveling and taking photos while I'm traveling. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's harder to see the good stuff at home.
It is.
You can always hang out at the grassy knoll, I guess, right?
Yes.
Book the repository.
I drive by that every day.
Do you?
Going into work, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll just tell you how you caught my attention.
Yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't share this, but I was on my iPad. It was like in the evening, one evening. And, you know, when somebody subscribes to the magazine, I get a message. I should turn that off because, you know, it's distracting. I would get a lot of them every day. And, you know, I just happened to see your thing pop up. You subscribe. I go, oh, that's nice. Thank you. And then later you must have filled out the profile. And by the way, anybody who subscribes to the magazine, please fill out the profile. We do pay attention to that. So your profile comes through on my email. And I should have been reading or whatever, but here I am, you know, looking at the internet at night. And your profile comes across, and I looked at what you wrote. And many people write these artist statement type things that don't quite sound like English. You know, it's kind of flowery. They call it artist speak, you know, or I'd look into the soul of people with my camera and things like that, you know. From what I understand, you really can't see people's souls, you know. maybe if you're some kind of shaman or something. But anyway, sorry, I'm being very, I don't know what I'm being today. Okay, I'm coming down with a cold. Anyway, so I saw that and I go, wow, you know, it was in plain English. It was a nice story. I really get what you do. You know, just from that one paragraph, I go, I wish more people would write profiles like that. Because the rest of us who have to read them will better understand more about you. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, just that really, really means a lot to me. And I think that I think through photography, as I said, I went through a really bad time of life. And photography really helped me discover kind of who I was. You know, when you get knocked down to nothing and you're having to rebuild, and you can often feel just lost and disconnected.
Sure.
And I think I purposely would, other than that friend down in Austin who kind of helped me learn the camera, I purposely at that point stayed away from rules or anyone else's idea of what and who I should be
Yeah.
Taking photos of or what and who I should be as a people pleaser. I know that things can get in my head. So I purposely was, I would shut stuff down and be like, I don't even want to know. This is my outlet and this is what I'm doing. And I think the same thing with an artist statement. I'm sure if I went and studied up on what it should be, maybe it wouldn't be as genuine. And I think ultimately art is connecting us to other people when we act and or when we express ourselves in a very genuine, open way, we're connecting with people on a very human level, because I don't think any of us really experience anything super unique. I mean, we feel so, we can feel so isolated in the things we experience. And I think by being genuine in the things we create, we're kind of connecting people. And I see that in my work. I see a lot of people who maybe are going through things and they really seem to relate to some of my work. Especially self-portraits, that seemed to, a lot of people kind of gravitated towards those. So,
yeah, yeah, me too. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. So, you know, I saw your profile and I thought, okay, let me look at our website. So I go to your website, and as I told you, we were chatting before, I spent, you know, 14 years building websites. I'm not a designer, by the way. Developer, not a designer. So, and I looked at it, I go, wow, you're really using this right. I mean, you know, websites are a different medium from books and television or whatever. And I told myself, you really have a feel for how to use this medium in a way I haven't really thought about. And then I go look at my website and I go, wow, this thing really sucks. It's not updated for a while.
I'm sure it doesn't.
Yeah. But, you know, I looked at some of your series, the way you have, you display different series and in a very creative way, and how you sequence the images within each series. You know, we spent a lot of time, Ashley and I, talking about sequencing images within articles and a book that we're putting together. And I'm putting my own personal book together too. And you have a real feel for that. And most people, myself included, on our websites, are just going to throw the photos up there. You know, you might have a gallery of street or travel or whatever. But each one of these series that you created have, they're each unique, and the images flow, and you don't have too many, maybe 10. I don't know. You obviously have rules for yourself as how much to put in there and not put in there.
Actually, it's funny you say that, because I think I did go back and edit my site after listening to your podcast with, it was the man who has the time and space. He was talking about editing. I can't think of his name. I'm just the worst. But
that's all right.
He was talking about editing and talking about having no more than 10. And I was like, oh, and I do have some with a little more. And that's where I'm okay with breaking the rules. I think as long as I kind of judge it. But my gallery, originally my gallery was broken up into all these different segments, because, you know, and once again, once a rule gets in my head, it's hard for me to just,
yeah,
not that I'm a rule follower, but it'll be in my head and be like, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. So,
I know what you mean.
So I'm trying to balance that out, but I did, I had it all divided up and I decided that's not really what I'm going for in my photography. It's all different. There's nature, there's reflections, there's self-portraits, there's street photography, there's all kinds of different elements in there. And that's kind of all of my life. And I kind of find it hard to compartmentalize that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted them to all feed into the others. So I did my best on like trying to just have this one big gallery, but have each kind of flow through in little groupings, if that makes sense. So
yeah. Well, it does. I think it really works.
Oh, thank you.
And I sent it to Ashley to look at, and she goes, oh, wow, yeah, this is quite good.
Oh, that means the world. If y'all only knew the amount of tears shed when a friend of mine originally created the original website, because I got asked to do a show at Arlington Museum of Art. And he was like, you need a website. You can't have a show without this. And so he built this website in 2019. And then I never touched it. And so it wasn't until this year that I thought, I have got to go into this website and figure this out. And I could not figure it out for the life of me. And I made myself sit down at least a half an hour every night, no matter what it was, I was going to spend time on this website. And then finally I got the hang of it. And then it was really fun. And then it was my creative outlet for a while, where I just poured everything into it, because I can be stubbornly determined where the tears come and I'm like, no, we're going to do this. We're going to make it happen.
Well, you did. I thought I saw another one. Is your old website still there on with a different domain?
I don't think so.
Okay. No. I saw another one. Didn't.
Was it the same?
Yeah, it had a lot of the same photos, but it looked different.
Oh, I think I played with a different photo on the main page at one point, but it didn't work. I was trying to do something creative and it didn't work. And sometimes I hit publish without realizing and then I have to sit with it for a minute.
Maybe that happened. I might have just gone back, you know. I review things, you know, before we talk.
Oh, sure.
I'd like to take a quick break to thank the Street Photography Magazine subscribers for your support. We couldn't do this without you. You may have noticed that we don't sell advertising or sponsorships in the podcast or inside Street Photography Magazine itself. And that's because we want to be completely objective about the work we publish and the services and gear that we cover. Our only constituent is you, our listeners and readers. So if you like what we're doing, you can support the show by subscribing to Street Photography Magazine. It's only $5 per month, and you can do it by visiting streetphotographymagazine.com/subscribe. And now back to the show.
What you've done is obviously very intentional. I mean, just the way you're talking, I could tell it was very intentional. And but before we go on with it, let me ask you, I mean, how do you describe yourself as a photographer? You obviously do street photography. It's a big part of the work that you show. But if somebody asks you, oh, you're a photographer, what do you do? Weddings? What kind of photographer are you?
I don't know. That's where I said earlier, like mood photography. I don't know. Whatever strikes my fancy is what. Yeah. Muse photography, maybe that's it. Like if I have my muse out in the world, I'm just going to take a photo of it, whatever it may be. And I can spend hours on a reflection. If there's a still lake somewhere, I will be so happy just shooting photo after photo after photo. But same in the street. If there's interesting people around, I'm just going to be happy. So I just shoot whatever I like. that's where it was hard to, because I couldn't compartmentalize any of that. And it's all, I love it all equally, you know?
I saw you made a comment in an interview you did in a magazine about taking photos. I think it was in the Las Vegas airport on the shiny floor.
Yeah.
Silhouettes, I think. And then I saw a few of those in the website itself.
I was mesmerized by it. I was just, I'm sure people walking by thought I was mad or something, because I was just affixed to these shadows on the floor. They were just glowing. And there's so many other things you can take pictures of in the Las Vegas airport, but those, they were just mesmerizing to me.
You know, if something captures your attention, it means something's there. And obviously, you had a few on your website, and I hope when we publish some of your photos, at least one of those is included.
All right.
I thought they were really cool.
Oh, good. See, there you go.
You know, I think overall, you just have to be yourself in whatever you do. Sometimes that doesn't work in the corporate world.
Yeah, that is true.
But in the world of photography, it sure does.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key to not stopping too. You just, it's something that just brings so much enjoyment and peace that I did have some rejections from some contest entries that are always disheartened. Oh, what am I supposed to be doing this? But ultimately I'm like, of course I am, because I love it. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? And then I get asked to be featured here. So 10 million times better. I'm getting interviewed by Bob Patterson. It's amazing.
Look at that. You have hit the pinnacle.
I am there. You know, I am there.
Yes. Like Reinhold Messner. You know who he was?
I don't.
He was the first non-Tibetan to climb Mount Everest without oxygen.
Yeah. Look at me up here.
Look at that. And he got to the top. And I think the quote was, "I sat there like a stone. I didn't know what else there is to do once I've done this." And I think he jumped off. No, I'm kidding.
There you go.
But it's like, you know, once. Yeah. So, you know, being interviewed on this podcast and being featured in the magazine, that's it.
That's it.
Don't even, you know, that's like 3-4 steps above being accepted to Magnum.
Exactly. Precisely.
Of course, I'm being facetious.
I know.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone else knows as well.
But I'm glad you're pleased. So, one thing that I really appreciate, I always admire, is people who do self-portraits. It's very hard to do. We were talking about Harvey Stein. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But I took a photo class with them, photographing people. And one of the projects was to do self-portraits. And I found it extremely painful. And but there's some people who've done amazing work with it. A couple people in the class. I wasn't one of them, but there's some people I really like. Paul Kessel. I don't know if you have seen Paul Kessel's.
It sounds very familiar. Self-portraits. Yeah.
He created. You probably you can't see it. One of his famous photos is the Q train, which was taken on a subway train in New York, but he was stuck inside during the pandemic, and he did these just hilarious self-portraits, and he even like ordered like these heads that he used in a store to display wigs or hats on. He had a bunch of those, and you just have to see the work. His work, Margarita Mavromichalis.
Yes, she was on, she's amazing. She really is. A workshop I did with Harvey in Coney Island.
Oh, good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was amazing.
I know her through Harvey. And yeah, her self-portraits. And then she taught the class on self-portraiture.
Oh, her.
And
fantastic.
Then Neil Kramer, who, I don't know if you saw his work, he was, during the pandemic as well, he was visiting his mother in Queens when everything shut down. And she had this little two-bedroom apartment, and his ex-wife happened to be there. And the three of them got stuck in this little apartment for months. Goodness. And he started taking these photographs of the three of them, and they're just hilarious.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Oh, you have to look it up. His work, and he never considered himself a photographer, but just really funny. And I had an opportunity to see him speak in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, focus on the story.
Oh, that's amazing.
Amazing work. And then I see your work, which is completely different.
Yeah.
So I just have to ask you about that. But what was the impetus to do your self-portrait series?
Surprise, surprise, the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic, as awful as it was just, it was, creativity was bursting through everybody. And I think, you know what? I think we lost, for me anyway, and I can only imagine people like me, when you're not seeing people day to day, face to face, you kind of lose that inhibition of what are people going to think of me because you're not seeing them. So you had all this freedom. you would post it on Facebook, but nobody's, it's not like you're going to see them tomorrow and they're going to be like, oh, what was that? So yeah. there was a lot of free. I did have one of my neighbors. So my neighbors are fantastic musicians and they did the street concerts like we did in the pandemic. And we went out there and one of my neighbor's wives came up to me and she said, you've been busy with clouds. And I said, yeah, I know. It's a little mad. I don't know. I knew you were going to ask about it. And I was trying to figure out how it popped in my head. I had made clouds. I had always been fascinated by clouds. Before I took up photography, I was painting clouds. My living room is covered in clouds, always fascinated by clouds. And I had made clouds for Arts Goggle, where I was selling some of my photos 1 year to hang from the top. And I was like, I have these clouds. I'm bored. I'm going to hang a sheet up from my dining room, put a light behind it, and put these clouds up and make it look like I'm floating away, which was fitting for the pandemic. And so I don't even know if I have that one online because it was just the very first one. They're all iPhone. The first ones, I had no idea I was going to do a series. I just was killing time. I live by myself. So it was like, what am I doing with my time? And it was hours. I didn't have a remote. So I would set my iPhone up, give myself 10 seconds to run and get in place and act like I'm holding this cardboard balloon that's flying off into space. And it was so fun. I had more fun. I was laughing because I was knocking stuff over as I'm trying to get shots. And it was fantastic. But I can imagine to the outside world, they were probably like, is she okay? What is she doing?
You're locked up for months.
What is she doing?
Many of them are very surrealistic.
Yeah.
I guess. I think you even used the term Dolly-esque. Did you use
Dolly one of mine? Dolly, yeah. Like, Dolly-esque dreams where I'm draped on the tree because that
not
one
Dolly
of course,
Parton.
Salvador. I was my boyfriend and I had just gone to, where were we? Lake Waco Wetlands. He does nature photography, so we get out a lot and I get to shoot while he does wildlife. Really, he does wildlife, not nature. And I end up shooting reflections and stuff. But I had taken a picture of this tree that looked like a tree that would be in a Dolly painting. So then I started thinking, well, how can I do that? So I draped myself over my hammock stand and took photos and then composited them together. And I loved it.
One thing I'm interested in is, okay, they're very, you know, there's photos of you sitting on a telephone wire with wings, like with birds, and sitting in the a quarter moon. Things like that. Did you envision the end result first and then go make it happen? Or did you take the original photos and see where they might be able to fit?
I always had an idea. And so I'm going to go back to everybody. If you're just genuine in your everything you create, I think you inspire people later, because I was listening to a ton of music and I'd go walk in the pandemic and listen to music. And music would inspire me. So a lot of these are based off songs I'd hear, and it would just create a vision in my head. Mm-hmm. And then I would think, how can I do that with a self-portrait? And so I'd always have an idea in my head. Most of them did not turn out how I thought they would, of course, but I would take hundreds of photos, especially before I had my remote control, because I was having to get up, take it and adjust every time. The funniest one and my favorite one, where I'm falling out of the window, was actually based on Tom Waits' Tango Till They're Sore song. I don't know if you've heard it, but he says, let me fall out of the window with confetti in my hair. And I was like, that's a fantastic image.
Was that one of his newer songs when he started?
No, it's older.
I love Tom Waits.
Look it up after. It's a fantastic song.
Which album's on, you know?
I don't know, but I can look it up real quick.
Okay.
I'll tell you. I won't waste podcast time by looking that up.
Okay.
But I cut all my props I made. I cut out birds out of cardboard. I'd spray paint them black. In the window, I cut out of cardboard. And I balanced myself. I draped a stool with a white sheet. Balanced myself on this stool. I put a fan under my hair so my hair would be blowing up. And in my mind, I needed confetti. So I bought this big bag of confetti. And right before it'd go off, I'd drop this confetti. None of the photos with confetti worked at all. And I went through an entire bag of confetti.
Then you had to clean it up.
I still find confetti to this day in little hidden places. It was everywhere. It was absolute madness. But it was so fun. Yeah, it wasn't until I had to clean it up that I was like, was this a great idea? But it was my, I think that's my favorite one.
Interesting. What was the name of the song again?
Tango Till They're Sore.
Tango to what?
Till They're Sore.
Oh.
S-O-R-E. Yeah. Great song.
Boy. I thought I knew all of the songs.
Well, yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. He got a little strange later in life.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Happens to the best of us.
So do you always create just for yourself as opposed to the approval of others, or do you go back and forth on that?
I think I try to create for the approval of myself, because I think it was through learning my voice, finding my voice through photography, that I found out who I was. And, you know, it's really interesting. And I've heard a couple of people talk about this when you go back and edit your photos, and how you can kind of see what it is that you need to be, or what it is you've learned, and what it is that who you are. You can almost kind of see how you've grown and who you are and what's important to you. And I think going back and editing photos for the website was so helpful in that. And I don't think I've answered your question correctly.
No, that's okay. That's actually another question I have. So keep going.
Well, I just think reviewing your work, or for me anyway, has been amazing, because it does allow me to create, to see the series I have, The Stranger. Those were throwaway photos, or not throwaway. I loved them, but I just thought, I don't know if anyone else is really going to be interested in.
And they were all series,
strangers that I either pointed to my cameras, gave them a smile, and they're like, yeah, it's fine, you can take a photo. So once I looked at them all together, it was so powerful to me. And I think coming from such a dark place from when I started photography, just that connection with people, with strangers, is so powerful. I think for them as well, maybe. I don't know. I like to think that I wrote it in that little thing I wrote about it, that I'm sending them positive energy every time I look at their photo. And do they even know that they bring me joy, you know, just by existing in my computer and in my camera somewhere? So, and that's where I don't know if any of us know the impact we make on other people as we go about our lives. So
I don't think we do.
Yeah.
You know, all of us are living inside our head most of the time.
Exactly. And, you know, interesting you say that, because I think photography is how I got out of my head, or am learning to get out of my head, because it does help me connect with other people. And yeah, I think that's lovely.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't realize that you had taken a workshop with Harvey Stein. I know you said you learned sequencing from him. I didn't realize that you actually attended a workshop. But in looking at your Strangers series, it makes a lot of sense. A lot of people will say, that's not street photography because you're interacting with the people. But I say that's a bunch of hooey. And that's like Harvey. I mean, he always interacts with the people he photographs.
He does.
And
he's been a huge mentor for me, and I think from what I'm hearing, he does that for quite a few people. And I just think it's a wonderful, he'll reach out. He really helped with my self-portraits, and he kind of helped me sequence them. He introduced me to Sandrine from All About Photo and helped me like craft an email to send her, and I sent it. Next morning they were online, and I was over the moon. I think that might have been when I was like, I'm buying a workshop ticket. I'm going to one of his workshops. This is fantastic. I can't believe this. He was very helpful, and I think he does that. He finds work that he likes and people that he respects, and he kind of gives them a little hand, and I admire that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And I can tell you, as a publisher, it works both ways, because he's introduced us to some excellent people, Margarita being one of them.
Fantastic.
And we've gotten to be friends with many of them.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just listened to your podcast the other day with Eva Malice. She was.
Oh, did you? Yeah. That's how I met Eva. Sure.
When I showed up to this workshop, I felt like I was so well, I met them all and I went back to my Airbnb and I looked them all up and I was like, oh my gosh, these people are so good. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? And we were supposed to create a story and it really worked out for me because I was feeling kind of insecure and nervous. And we went the first full day we had, it was foggy and it was like, perfect. This fits my mood perfectly. And I was able to create a story, but I had no reason to be nervous. These women who were there, Stephanie Ruth, I don't know if you know her. She's in Austin. She's fantastic. Denise Penske. They're amazing photographers, amazing women. They took me under their wing and we were fast friends. It was fantastic. It was a great experience.
Did you do the Coney Island workshop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Coney Island. Yeah. Yeah. So it was foggy and quite a few people were a little upset about that because you think Coney Island, happy, bright. But yeah, it was real foggy and dreary.
Good.
Worked for me.
It gets foggy here. The first thing I do is grab my camera and get outside.
I love it. Love the fog.
So you've been involved with a lot of folks in New York. Have you gotten involved in the women's street photographers or?
I have not. I think just intimidation, you know,
what a great group.
I know. I'm sure they are. Everyone I've met in all the podcasts I hear, everyone is so, I think it's a certain type of person maybe who does street photography. We're all kind of on the same wavelength about what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah. You have to be a little bit crazy. That's okay.
A little.
Wow. So you were talking about this a little bit, but, and maybe you already answered it, but your website, I hate to keep coming back to it, but it's, it's just such a good example of what you do and how you think. And it's very tightly edited. You can tell you're very intentional about what goes in and probably what doesn't go in. And, you know, what's your secret for making those selections?
Oof, that's a really good.
It's hard. If you limit yourself to 10 photos in a gallery or 8 or 5 or whatever, you know.
Well, I don't like in my gallery. There's so many, but I do have them sequenced in groups.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's hard, and it is after hearing other people talk about the editing process that I can go back and look at it with a more critical eye. And I know Harvey used to always say, there was one self-portrait in particular that I loved because I knew how funny it was to make, first of all, because I made a boat. And I don't use this self-portrait now at all because it's not good. But I made a boat and I didn't have the remote. So I'd jump over the boat, push the 10-second button, run back, get in place in this boat. And it was so fun to make, and it just didn't work. And once I trained myself to kind of look at it from a critical eye, now sometimes I will keep stuff even if I think maybe no one else will like it. But and I think I still need to do some editing and, you know, just really looking through the photos. And I think as you take more photos, you can kind of substitute in and out maybe. But I don't know. I think it's just trial and error. I think it's just creating, looking at it in a different room. For some reason, that makes a difference. If I look at it in a different place than I'm used to looking at it, I kind of see it from a fresh eye, which also is what photography does to me. When I was a painter, when I tried to paint, I would take a photo of my painting and look at the photo in another room to gain perspective on it, which I think is what photography does for us. It creates objectivity of our time and place because we're looking at it from a different location. Or that's just my
sometimes thinking. It's hard when you know the story behind it. Like your boat thing. Gee, I had to drive 6 hours to get to this place and wait around for just this thing to happen. And I made this photo. And actually it's not very good, but it was hard to get.
And I'm keeping it.
I think
we always know, I feel like I always kind of know deep in my gut if I need to cut something. And I might leave it up for a while, but then eventually I'll be like, you know, and then I'll take it out and realize it does work better without it. And then, okay, you go rest over here for a little while. Maybe we'll find you somewhere else for you to live later down the line.
Yeah, I'm going through that now. I'm going to make a zine as a start. Awesome. I've been working on a project. You've probably heard it since you listen to the podcast, because I mentioned it. You know, I'm shooting the jazz community here. We have a very eclectic group. We have a great music scene in this little town. And so I've been shooting the jazz community for a little over a year now. I got thousands of photos. So I'm going to make a zine just to show the work, really, so because I want to exhibit it. I was going to limit it to maybe 25 photos, and I narrowed down my selection, and it's about 90.
I know, it's hard.
It's really hard. So I set them off to be printed, just 4x6s, so I could hold them in my hand. I don't want to use up all my ink printing. I'm here for that purpose. But
yeah, that's smart. So, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll see if it works. I know a lot of people do that, but it's just hard making that cut. I think it's a little easier to
kind of move them around when you have them printed out. It's so hard. It's so hard. But I think it does make a difference ultimately.
It does.
And if you have more photos, maybe you sequence them kind of like I did in the gallery. You know what I mean? Like maybe play with more, but have it a little more. That was my solution to the problem, though, because I couldn't compartmentalize and I couldn't. I did edit the gallery, but I just wanted my stuff up.
Yeah,
live in one place.
you taught me a lesson on that project just today, and I'm looking through your work, and you have a shot of a trumpeter. But it's a silhouette.
Yeah.
Against a light background where you can see the shadow of either the musician or somebody else. I go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Me, I do take it straight on, you know? I mean, it's and I go, wow, that's really clever.
I'm very, obviously, if I was taking pictures of the floor in the Las Vegas airport, I'm drawn to shadows, silhouettes, reflections, anything like that. I'm just, my eyes just drawn to them. That is a place I was going to tell you, if you ever go to Dallas, you go to Bishop Arts, Revelers Hall, the Revelers Hall band will knock your socks off. They are absolutely the most fun, amazing band. And I sent one of my photos in, I think, I hope I did it right, submitted for your book project here of the place you go to over and over to shoot photos, because that's one place. And the light there is fantastic. Well, it's not fantastic. It's fantastic for me because there's a lot of great shadows and contrast.
Yeah, we're in the process of making selections now. So, as we speak, so I'm recording this middle of March.
Nice.
This will be out. So, I have to keep an eye out for it. I can't talk much about that process, obviously, because it's
no, absolutely not.
We got a lot of submissions, well over 1,000.
I don't envy you. I'm sure that's hard on the judging side of things.
Well, it's very hard, very hard. You know, I've done a lot of judging in contests, which is totally different, I've discovered. And then we opened up submissions when I was in the middle of judging another contest. And so it's like I got pretty burnt out. I had to walk away from it for a while.
I can't even imagine. I've never experienced it from that side, but I'm sure you'll select the best ones. It'll be fine.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on it. Ashley and I are keeping each other honest. So we have different tastes, which is helpful.
That is helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So on your website, which is your favorite series?
And this is one that I've kept up, even though I don't think the photos are very strong, but it's the one I took in Costa Rica, and I just was taking pictures out of the car window just because I loved it. I loved it. I don't feel like the photos are super strong. To me, they are, but if I look at them objectively, they probably aren't, but once again, I just love the idea of there's something about running into someone, and there's billions of people on this earth, and the chances of meeting anyone are so slim, and you just, you're connected for a moment with this perfect stranger, and this perfect stranger has an entire life and love and fear and hate and insecurity and all these things, and you know nothing about it, and like here you are connecting for 1 second. I find that so beautiful. So yeah, I think that one, and I know, yeah, it's just one that I'm not going to get rid of.
Yeah, that's fleeting scenes, right?
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. How did you choose the subject? I mean, were all of these from the same trip or place? Okay.
Those were all from Costa Rica. And I've thought of adding to that as I travel. I just haven't been in a car much while I'm traveling. I went to Istanbul in September. That's where my boyfriend is from. And we went to Greece, but there wasn't a lot of cars. I mean, we were on the ferries and stuff, but I couldn't call that out the car window. But
yeah, we were in Greece. We were in Greece in August.
Oh, just missed you. We were at Chios. We were on the Greek islands, but yeah.
Which island?
Chios.
Chios, yeah. We didn't go there.
Yeah.
It was hot. You're used to heat. What am I? You're from Texas. Come on.
I like heat. I like a nice 90, 100, a little much, but yeah.
No, it's hot. It's hot here too in the summertime, but man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a new definition of hot, but I loved it. I loved it. I like your Tiny Large Things.
Oh, series. I love that one too.
When I often like to have little people in my photographs, even though there's big people close, but I learned it's that fun. From Stella Johnson, speaking of Greece. But it's an interesting technique, you know, and it helps with showing the depth. But I like this, how they're just like little people in a big space.
Yeah. I just, once again, I feel stuff when I see that. I feel we're all so insignificant and yet so significant in so many ways. You know what I mean? It just speaks to me. That was at Monahan Sands. That was coming back from Big Bend.
We
went over Thanksgiving. And yeah, once again, if I see a little silhouette or a person on a horizon, I got to get a photo right now. Every time I'm driving and I see someone on a bike on a bridge, where's my camera?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for those too. Well, I can say, you know, you are not afraid to reveal yourself or what you think or feel. And, you know, have you always been like that? You know,
no,
was there a tipping point? I know you said you went through some things in life a few years ago. Has that had anything to do with it?
I think so. I think I just realized that if you're just pleasing people all the time, you're not really showing anyone who you really are anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I used to post a lot of, I don't know, like quotes or poems, Charles Bukowski and Mary Oliver. I love Mary Oliver. And Harvey, I don't know why or where or how. I don't think he'd ever seen anything I'd written, but he encouraged me to just write my own things with my photos. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And oftentimes when I am very open like that, there will be a lot of tears in the background, like, oh, shouldn't share that. But ultimately, I'm always glad I shared because the feedback I get from the people who do connect to it is so powerful. And people need to see it. I just think people need to see that very human aspect of other people, because we all have ideas in our head of who this person is and what life they're living, and we just don't know. And I just think connecting on that level of, oh, it's really hard sometimes for all of us. So I am very open. I don't think I am very open, but I know I am very open. And it doesn't come easy, but it does come easy. So I don't know what that says about me. I'm just in the right mood. It'll all just come out. And then once I share it, it's shared. And I don't go back.
Can't
or
put
I try
it back.
Not to go back.
No, it's interesting you brought that up. It made me think of, before we started, you were talking about Jeff Larrison's YouTube channel and his My Five, and then the critiques they do. And I bought his book. It's called Sonner, S-O-N-E-R. And I didn't know what that word meant, but he defines it in the book. And it's the realization or the understanding when you see another person walking on the street that their life is just as messy and complex as your own. And often we look at strangers as just what we see.
Yeah.
You know, their demeanor or the color of their skin or whatever. And there's just so much more to everybody with the billions of us on this planet. And I thought, gee, what a nice way to name your book. And you just said the very same thing.
It's so true. And I think I told you before when I listened to your podcast, and like I said, I made it a point to not dive into other people's thoughts or viewpoints or any rules or anything like that. Until I found out kind of who I was, and I feel like I have a pretty firm understanding of who I am and what I'm trying to say and what I want to use my work for. But as I start diving into podcasts like yours and others, and I told you, when I hear people talking, I'm like, me too. Oh, that's how I see it too. Me too. And I was like, oh my gosh, these are my people. I totally relate to so many things that I have heard said. And it's almost eerie, because not coming from that knowledge of other street photographers thinking and feeling that same way, when you hear them talking, you're like, whoa, this so parallel to my own thinking that it's almost eerie, but it's beautiful. It's nice.
It is. It is. It's a gift.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Penny, starting to run out of time here. I think before we go, tell us, are you working on anything new coming up? You've been in, you're all about photo. You've had your work displayed anywhere? You have any exhibits coming up?
Don't have any coming up right now, but hopefully that will happen soon. I kind of, the past year was very busy, and so I kind of haven't been actively pursuing things like I should. But now that I have my website kind of in a nice place, I can turn my creativity elsewhere again. And hopefully, haven't bought the ticket yet, but we're very close. Hopefully going to Venice and back to Istanbul in September. So I expect I will be very happy there, just clicking away.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, why don't you tell us where you can be found online?
Yeah. So, okay. The name is kind of corny, but it's my Instagram name, Penelopeace. It's so Penelope and then A-C-E, all one word. Mm-hmm. And that's my website, penelopeace.com, and Instagram's the same.
That keeps it simple.
Yeah.
Keeps it simple. Well, thanks. Thank you, Penny. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we connected.
Yeah, me as well. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Your thoughts about the show go a long way in helping us decide on the guests and the subjects that we include in each episode. So please take a few moments to write a review in Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to stream your podcasts. It helps us know if we're on the right track, and it helps others to find and enjoy the show. The editor of Street Photography Magazine is Ashley Refo, and our audio engineer is Russell Boyd from WeBit Studios, found at webitstudios.co.uk. I'm Bob Patterson, and this is the Street Photography Magazine podcast, a service of Street Photography Magazine.